Hey guys, welcome back to Chase the Unknown. We're so happy you've joined us again today. My name is Roger Sisk.
And I'm Trinity Dobbs.
And we have a guest today. We are back with Tessa Emily Hall from season one.
Hello.
Hey Tessa, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me again.
Well, it's good. We're glad you could make it.
Yes, thank you so much for coming on again.
So if I remember correctly, from the last time you were on, you were working on a book called Love Your Selfie.
Yes.
And can you tell us about where you are on that project right now?
Yes. So Love Your Selfie, that is a 52-week devotional for teen girls. And that book actually releases in October, October 13th.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a devotional journal, and it's mainly focused on helping girls to embrace their uniqueness and just really tap into their potential to develop their gifts to pursue God's kingdom. So yeah, I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. You know, that's something that I didn't really have as a kid. I always got these different devotionals. They were all, you know, all these Christian devotionals that I used to get as kids. But there was never one that I really got that was about being unique, about being yourself. Because I spent my entire childhood trying to fit in.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so weird.
Yeah, that was the struggle that I myself faced as a preteen and as a teen growing up. Yeah. It was always just hard for me to understand why I was created the way that I was created. And I would constantly, you know, compare myself to other girls and wonder why I didn't have her personality or why I didn't look the way that she does.
Right.
And as I did that, I started to develop all these insecurities and all this self-hatred and self-shame. Mm-hmm. And I kind of just wanted to hide myself. But through the process of really just pursuing Christ and developing a relationship with him, I started to discover my identity in him. Mm-hmm. And through that process, he's helped me to see myself through eyes of love rather than through eyes of judgment. Mm-hmm. And I'm able to have the confidence that I need to really just, you know, pursue what he wants me to pursue. And this is just an issue. The reason I'm passionate about this is because this is such a relevant issue with teens today.
It is.
I see so many of them just battling all these insecurities and wanting to hide themselves. Mm-hmm. And I think the enemy is really targeting that because he wants to keep them down. He wants to keep them from reaching out and from realizing the potential that they have to build his kingdom and to be confident and to rise up and to speak out rather than just hiding themselves. So that's really my whole heart behind the devotional.
Yeah, wow. That's actually really fascinating because, like I said before, I struggled with that as a child because not only was I just very insecure with who I was, but I was also, in my head, I was classified as the outsider because I wasn't. Yeah. I moved to the town that I grew up in when I was seven. Hmm. So, but because I wasn't born there and I wasn't related to anybody that was there, I just kind of always felt like an outsider. And so having that on top of being my own person and trying to figure out where I fit in and to only figure out that I didn't.
Right.
And I struggled with that for years because I didn't officially move out of my house, my parents' house, until I was 21.
Yeah.
So from the time I was 7 till the time I was 21, I did nothing but try my hardest to fit in to never quite get there.
Yeah.
And I'm still struggling with those repercussions today, so I would encourage anybody to go and read that book.
Yeah.
Because that, I still struggle with that, and it's, 10 years later?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, it is a journey. It's a journey that we all have to walk through in, you know, making sure that we're not constantly comparing ourselves to others.
Right.
I mean, I think really these days, teen girls especially, they really seem to be battling this even more so than previous years because of all the pressure that social media has put on them. They're wondering why they can't look like they're filtered versions of themselves. Yeah. And they're going on Instagram, scrolling through pictures, seeing all the filtered versions of other people. And then the cyberbullying that comes with all of that.
Yeah.
And just constantly feeling as if they don't measure up and they're constantly trying to get likes and followers on Instagram because that's helping to build their self-esteem. But they're looking for that feeling of worth, of feeling good enough in the wrong places.
You know, I have to agree with that. I think that I'm not blaming social media for this because I think it's not social media's fault.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is to an extent. I think it is their fault because they do, because of the way that it's done. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I think that if you're a good parent,
Yeah, right.
I gotta figure out how to wear this. If you are a good parent, you are cautious with what your child puts on social media. You're cautious exactly, at what age you allow them to have one. You are cautious that, like, I have a cousin who she's had a Facebook since she was 9.
Oh my goodness! Like,
you are nine years old and you had a Facebook. Yeah. Like, why would?
There's like no need.
I mean, I think really all she did on it was play games. So it's not really like a huge.
Well, there's apps for
but
that.
But at the same time, she was 9.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she and I'm sitting here like, you know what I was doing at 9? Mm-hmm. I was playing with Legos. That's what Barbie dolls. That's what I was
playing
doing
on my
at
bike.
Nine. Yeah, exactly. Outside, learning these different playing basketball. You know, things like that. So I think it's a mindset of, do these kids even have a childhood anymore?
Yeah. Right.
And this is a conversation we've had before, Trinity, of, you know, we brought up that, you know, in a way, I'm 28, and so my generation, you know, and the kind of the generation above me of parents are really the first generations to have to deal with this, to have to deal with raising, what does it look like to raise kids in such a social media saturated culture where, like you said, Tessa, you know, they're scrolling through Facebook or nowadays scrolling through Instagram or even, you know, scrolling through TikTok or whatever new app it is, you know, they're scrolling through and seeing only the best moments that their friends are choosing to put out.
And they're not seeing the struggles.
They're not seeing the struggle yet. And that's why I think a lot of times, you know, it's a cliche kind of, but, you know, people don't realize that, you know, even the popular kids, even the people you at least expect to be struggling with things are still struggling with
struggling
things.
They're actually the ones struggling the most, more than
probably
likely.
Because they're suffering almost in a way those side benefits of of quote unquote that popularity that social media brings.
Because that's what is giving them their boost of confidence. And so they're constantly being attached to whether or not they're getting enough likes or they're getting enough comments on their posts. And that's where their sense of worth and sense of value is coming from.
Yeah.
And so if they don't have that anymore, then they're teared down even more.
That's why I think it's one of those where you got to be cautious, super cautious with like social media and smartphones nowadays, because you need to be confident in yourself before you can.
Exactly.
Before you should I'm not sure if I should word it that way, should get a social media account. You know, because if you're not confident in who you are and you don't realize that all of this stuff, most of it's fake.
Yeah.
You have to be mindful of what's fake and what's not, because I was talking to my mom this morning and she was saying that one of her cousins was posting on Facebook like all these different, she believes everything on social media. So all these these fake newspaper articles,
Babylon Bee,
things like that, they're all fake. We all know that they're fake. But this woman, and this woman's older. My mom is almost, I think my mom turns 60 this year. And so my cousin's older than her. So obviously it's that generation.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I'm like, they're believing it.
Yeah.
If that woman is believing it, then what are these
really
9, 10, 12, 16-year-old girls believing?
And that even comes to bring up, you know, at what age do you give your child a phone or technology? You know, age do you let them get an Instagram or a Facebook?
There are some YouTubers out there who I know started their channel when they were like 9 or 10. And they have a YouTube channel, which is popular now, but I'm kind of like, you know, why would you start one that young? I could understand 15, 16, but at 9?
I don't know the demographics on this, but I know, you know, even game streaming, you know, for example, on Twitch is really popular, especially for younger, at least if they're not streaming themselves, they're watching streams.
Yeah.
You know,
it's just consuming them.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Does anyone remember Vine? Does anybody remember Vine? Let's talk about Vine for a second. So I remember I watched an episode of Dancing with the Stars way back in the day, and one of the guests, or one of the celebrities on Dancing with a Star, was a Vine star.
Really?
And that was his claim to fame, was he was
a
Vine star.
I'm curious who it was.
I can't think of his name. He was really, him and his brother did it. They did a Vine. They had Vine together.
Interesting. Yeah.
I can't remember his name. They were like top two.
Okay.
Or something like that. I don't remember his name. You have to go back and watch it. But I want to say he was on the same season as Kelly Pickler.
Okay,
interesting. I could be wrong. But anyway, so that was his claim. I mean, the dude was like 16 years old.
Wow.
And he's a Vine star.
I mean, look, it's really interesting how nowadays social media influencers, if you want to call them that, are really kind of becoming public figures through just building their own brand on social media.
Yeah, and like in school, kids are asked, what do you want to be when you grow up? And they're saying, I want to be a YouTube star. I want to be an Instagram influencer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just, and for the first, like we just mentioned previously, you know, this is the first generation to do that.
Yeah.
To say, isn't that insane? To be able to go to school and say, I want to be a, I want to be a YouTuber. I want to be Mr. Beast. I want to be... whoever their favorite YouTuber is.
And the thing is, the desire behind that, I mean, some of them might have, you know, the right motivation, but a lot of that, the desire is that they want to be seen. They want to be in the spotlight. And all of that goes back to that desire that we all have for acceptance.
Yeah.
We're craving it and we're doing everything that we can to find that.
Yeah.
But when really, I believe that emptiness has been created and put inside of each of us, not so that we can go out in the world and try to find that acceptance through popularity and through friends and through achievements, but rather that emptiness is there so that we can seek the seek Jesus first and allow his love to fill what human love can never give us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what kind of scares me about online dating is, you know, you know, that person that you're talking to could be anybody.
Right.
You know, if I'm matched with somebody on Match.com,
it could be whoever you want to be.
Whoever they want you to believe that they are.
Yeah.
It's not even who they want to. It's who they want you to believe that they are, not who you want them to be.
That's how social media is in general. You can create whatever kind of person that you want to be and portray who you want to be so that you can receive the acceptance that that you're craving, because you think that being yourself is not good enough to receive that.
Exactly.
You know, and I actually have to admit that I actually struggle with that a lot of times, where I'll I don't want anyone to see the bad parts of my life, just because it's, you know,
unfiltered.
You want to post that?
Why would you want to post that? But at the same time, you know, people see so much, well, for the lack of a better term, happiness all the time, that they don't see the real
ness of it either. Vulnerability.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's kind of like a catch 22.
Exactly. Yeah. And going back to what you were saying, Tessa, you know, I think as well, they're looking for an identity.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and they get into a headspace where if they don't have fame, if they're not an influencer, who are they?
Yeah. Right, yeah. Right. And that name is attached to your name.
Exactly.
I am an Instagram influencer, or I am a YouTube, whatever you call it, a YouTube star. And that's what you hide behind. Yeah, YouTuber. Because that's what they are going to hide behind, just to give themselves that pat on the back and that boost of confidence, because where else are they going to find it?
Exactly.
Because it's in them. They're searching for that identity, but they are looking in the wrong place.
And that's why I feel like what you're doing, you know, with your book and with what you're doing with some other project, and I know we've talked about,
Which
is
we'll
just doing really, you're doing really well, is reaching out to people, reaching out to young girls especially, and just saying, hey, you know, this is what your identity isn't, shouldn't be in the fact that you're a YouTube star, you're an Instagram influencer. It should be in Jesus.
Right. Yeah, and the thing is, when we come to that point of realizing that identity and seeking him first rather than all this popularity and you know, fame and that sort of thing, once we realize our true identity, then that's when we're going to be fulfilled, and that's when we're finally going to have the confidence that we need so much that we're not looking for those other places and those other people. And it's okay if we do receive negative feedback. Like, I know so many people who are just completely torn down when they see mean comments written on their Instagram posts or mean messages on Instagram. And it's like, why is your confidence, why does that have to be attached to what other people are saying to you? Mm-hmm. And it's just because, you know, this is something that we all struggle with, and I myself struggle with it too, because I need to remind myself that that's not who I am, that my my confidence needs to be rooted in who God says that I am, and I need to see myself through his eyes rather than the eyes of the world.
Absolutely. I completely agree. Well, I know that you also said that you were looking, that you have a magazine out.
Yes, Pursue Magazine. That's it. A Christian teen magazine for girls. Really, teen girls and young adults.
really?
Yeah. Yes.
That's really cool.
And it's a blog, and we also offer, it's a biannual magazine. So we release an issue in spring and fall, and we really like to highlight on teen girls and also young adults who are pursuing something, you know, something for to build the kingdom, something, and just really making the most of their young youth, of their being young, by, you know, tapping into the gifts and talents that God has given them and making a difference in some way.
Yeah,
that's really cool.
That's awesome.
Thank you. Oh, I love magazines.
And we had talked a little bit before we got started about just how COVID has affected your your lifestyle, and not only your lifestyle, but you know, for what you do so often.
Right.
You know, I know. I feel like whenever we check in with you, you know, you're always going to this conference and that conference and this conference and that, just for
busy,
you know, all these
lady.
different writing conferences. You know, you stay really busy, and then like you mentioned that, you know, COVID happened and all your conferences got canceled. You know,
yeah.
What has that been like trying to navigate that? That monster.
It's been crazy. So I work in the publishing industry also. And I also like to go and speak to teenagers at schools and at churches, but I haven't been able to do that since February. And, well, my last conference was in March, and I am, like you were saying, I'm so used to going to all these places and just, you know, trying to really spread my ministry, further my ministry, and I go to the conferences for publishing, and I teach writing workshops and that sort of thing, but then COVID happened, like you were saying, and that kind of, you know, it changed the course of my year, of how I thought it was going to play out. But something that I shared on Instagram yesterday is 2020 has kind of been a year to prove just how accurate that scripture says about how we can make our plans, but God is the one who directs our steps.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because this year definitely looks different than how I had planned.
Oh, amen to that.
Now just having to work, you know, completely online and not going to those conferences and not speaking as I would like to, and, you know, doing a lot of Zoom meetings like I'm sure, you know, so many people are having to do. But I think through all of this, I'm just learning so much about how to just rely on God, rely on His guidance, and trust in Him. But also, I've just learned so much about how to make the most of all this, and just to have, you know, joy in even the small things.
Yeah.
You know, I have to agree with you. I think that making the most of the, you know, a terrible situation is honestly the best route to go, because we know I personally have, you know, this year has not been great for me, not only professionally, but personally as well. And so it's just like everything's happening at once. But what do you do with that? Do you keep working towards your goals and, you know, chasing your unknown?
Yeah.
Or do you sit at home and wallow in your sorrows and eat a bunch of popcorn?
And binge Netflix.
Binge Netflix on a normal basis, you know, because everyone's been binging Tiger King and all these other shows that we won't go into because I'm still mad about the Carol Baskin thing. We won't go into
that. Oh, yes.
Dancing with the Stars. We won't go there.
Oh, when you don't even want to see the video from our first performance.
Oh, I have not seen it yet, and I'm not sure. We won't go there.
Of all the songs in the entire world, guess what song she did?
Eye of the Tiger.
Oh my goodness.
Eye of the Tiger.
Oh my goodness.
Of course.
I knew she did that. I knew
of
that.
Of course.
Did that.
I mean,
come
yeah,
on,
like,
I went really?
Deep. Like Trinity said, we won't go into it, but that's just something.
If Carol Baskin can get on Dancing with the Stars, I'm next in line. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
I am next
I
in
don't
line.
Know.
Shower.
And dear. I really do love what you were saying about how, you know, we can make the most of this. We don't have to just wallow in self-pity and binge Netflix and just eat junk food. Like, I think it's so important to make the most of every time that we've been given.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes, you know, just with the time, extra time that we have, you know, what are ways that you can grow in your gifts during this time?
Yeah.
And, you know, you could even read books in the area that you're interested in to help to grow certain skill sets. You can listen to podcasts. There's so much that there's so many ways that we can turn this around for good. So that way we can, you know, further our potential and, just put that scripture into action, Romans 8:28, about how God works all things together for good for those who love them. And I think we can make the decision whether or not we're going to, you know, have this year be something to come against us and hold us back, or are we going to allow it to help our potential and to grow us as individuals and to grow even our walk with Christ too.
Yeah, absolutely. I know that there's a lot of people who got bored during the COVID, so they would go on, like, you know, YouTube or TikTok or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's when TikTok really blew up, was were staying
home.
People were staying there. They were starting to make lots of videos. You know, I know I did.
Yeah.
I made a bunch of videos during quarantine.
I would watch the videos, right?
Have you seen my TikTok videos?
No, I didn't know you made them. I'll have to go watch them now.
She's going to stalk me now. I'm scared. She's going to see a whole new dynamic of my personality.
I think I might be scared of what I'm going to see.
If only you guys could actually see the faces, it'd be funny.
Unless you're prepared to see me jumping around in a panda onesie.
Oh my goodness.
Yes, I
know. That's great.
He used to say he would send them to me. I just started laughing at that point.
Wow, you really found a way to make the most of your COVID.
You really did.
I was at the bottom of the barrel as far as like...
The panda onesie.
Exactly. Yeah. I was dressing up in a panda onesie and making weird videos.
Yes,
I mean,
it was cheap entertainment. I will definitely give him that.
Right.
But going back to that, you know, I agree with you because there's, you know, things that I've wanted to do. And I think that the benefit of this pandemic, and I say that, you know, very cautiously, is that it's required everybody, the entire world, to stop.
Yeah.
And reset. And that's something that a lot of people are just like, they're all like, woe is me, this whole thing sucks, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, you're right, it does. But stop and reset. What are your actual passions?
Mm-hmm. What is your goals?
What are your goals? What do you want to do with your life? You only get one life. What are you going to do with it?
And you can reflect and reevaluate how you're going to move on from here.
Exactly. Because I know that's something that I know that not only is a Right Time Productions thing, but me personally, that's what I have done, is I've sat down with myself, things that I said I was going to do for years, and I was able to sit down and say, okay, here's the game plan. This is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to do it. Yeah. And it starts now.
Right.
Exactly.
It's something that I know that I personally had to do. I don't know about everybody else, but that's just what I did. And that's how you kind of almost have to look at it.
Yeah.
Otherwise.
I think it's super important, especially us as creatives, to do that. Like you're talking about, you know, sit down, kind of reevaluate what our goals, what our passions are, and then go after them. You know, that I feel like that's the most chase the end, the most cliche thing I could say here on the Chase the Unknown podcast, you know, where our entire goal is to remind you to go chase your dreams. But I would say that, you know, to, you know, reevaluate and then ask yourself, okay, what can I practically do now in this time to take a step forward towards those passions or towards those goals, you know? And for us, it was here at Right Time Productions.
Yeah.
It was a lot of things. It was this podcast. It was diving into a lot more writing on some projects, you know? And then of course, and not to mention a few other projects that we're super excited to talk to you guys about here in the next coming months that we'll hopefully be releasing next year. So stay tuned on that.
Yeah, we have a lot of stuff coming up.
And the thing is, people often have such big dreams for their lives. Like so many people want to write a book, but never actually do it because they make all these excuses. Like, I don't have enough time. Well, now you're out of excuses.
And you have the time.
Right.
Gotcha.
And the thing is, not just with writing a book, but with, you know, even if your dream is to start a podcast someday, instead of seeing the big picture and becoming intimidated by that, during this time, just sit down, research what it actually takes to follow through with this. And don't think of it as like, gosh, I can't reach that goal because it's way too big. There's no way I could become an author. There's no way I could become an actress one day.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, say, okay, this is my long-term goal. So what can I do to break that down so that I can meet that little by little? Are there ways that I can grow in that area, in that skill? Can I take virtual classes? I'm an actress also, so during this COVID time, I've been able to take some virtual acting classes, and that's really helped to grow my skill set. But The thing is, just try not to be so intimidated by the big picture. And instead, like what you were saying, just cut that down into smaller goals and make a plan of action. Because if you just look at the big picture, you're just going to be paralyzed and you're not actually going to put your first foot forward and take a step.
Exactly. You know, it.
Right. And the thing is, it's okay to grieve about this year. It's okay to have a natural response of frustration and being upset that you're not able to. I know my cousin had to postpone her wedding for twice this year.
Wow.
And so now she's going to have it next spring. And it's like, it's okay to be upset about that. But at the same time, like when it comes to just our regular day and how that's been changed and how we've been having to adapt, I think we need to stop putting so much, you know, feeling as if life has to be perfect, because this is life and it's never going to be perfect. So we might as well use this at a time to realize, you know, don't expect so much from life to know, like you have to build strong muscles to be able to go with the flow and to be able to tackle challenges as they come. So allow this to help you to grow those muscles.
Exactly. You know, it's one of those, like I always tell people, I just, life sucks, but you know what? It's the best thing ever.
Exactly. Yeah. You really can make the most of it.
We can quote Friends in this.
Yeah.
The very first episode,
Trinity
it says,
gotta life get her.
Says, welcome to the real world. It sucks. You're going to love it. That is Monica's quote in the pilot episode of Friends when she's talking to
Rachel. That's our Trinity's designated Friends reference.
That is my designated Friends reference of the podcast. I have one, everyone. I guarantee it.
It's funny how we've naturally navigated onto this topic of just starting, you know, no matter what, just starting, because that's always the hardest part. Because I actually remember when at the end of our last podcast with you on season one, your advice to everyone was just to start. And just to, you know, it doesn't matter what the long game is, you know.
Yeah.
The important part is just to start.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so in light of that, do you have any other advice that you would like to give people for just starting or taking advantage of this time?
Yeah, as you have that big goal and as you break that down into smaller goals, you're going to need, like we said, like the plan of action to decide, okay, now that I have these goals, how am I going to reach those goals? So as I mentioned, I think in the last podcast, when it came to writing a book, you have to find the time. You have to, you know, make a schedule it into your everyday life. So if you know, want to carve out a couple of hours in the morning to sit down at your desk and say, okay, this is my time to write. I'm not going to let myself get distracted on social media. And I'm going to maybe, you know, tell my family or my roommates that I need this time to just focus on my book. Please, you know, don't bother me. And as you treat it seriously and as you discipline yourself like that, it's going to be easier and easier. Our brains are wired in that way where if, you know, we are disciplined to like sit down and just focus on something at a certain time every day, it's going to naturally become easier for us to get in that flow every day and to discipline ourselves. And we're going to stop making so many excuses. So that would be my advice for those of you who are, who do have those goals and who are striving toward those dreams, is not only just to create those goals but to have a plan in place, a plan that you're going to be consistent with and disciplined with, because otherwise it's going to be too easy to make excuses, even during this time of COVID.
I know my biggest excuse would be is because I want to watch TV instead of actually sit down and write.
Right.
Yeah, but it's just, it's just my thing. I'm just lazy at this point.
That's so good, though. You've got to make a plan.
You have to make a plan, and you have to do it. And like you said, you know, you have to schedule it into your day, because I know that if I don't schedule it into my day or make a point to go do it, it ain't going to get done.
Yeah,
and I'm going to end up on the couch with my popcorn and watch my Netflix, and
watch
I'm never going to get up.
But, you know, you can always reward yourself. Say, okay, after I write one page, then I'm going to go on my couch with my Netflix with my ice cream or whatever
you want to choose.
And that
don't
be
like me.
Yeah. And that is important to schedule in some downtime too, and to schedule in some time for yourself. So that way you can have the rest that you need, and so that you can be able to continue to persevere.
Because that's actually another thing that I've actually had an issue with during COVID is it forced me to stop. I was so busy before that I didn't have time.
Crazy.
Yeah,
you're bouncing off the freaking walls,
I was,
lady.
But see, I've always been like that. That's the thing that I've always said. I've always kept myself busy because I didn't know what to do with myself if I wasn't.
So many people are like that.
That's a wisdom bomb right there.
Right.
I didn't know what to do with myself. I wouldn't have known what to do with myself, so that's why I kept myself busy.
Exactly. So if I
makes sense.
I would keep myself busy, and so then when COVID hit, it forced me to stop. I didn't have a choice. I was one of the fortunate ones where my day job, I still was able to go to work, but I couldn't go shopping. I couldn't go out to eat. I couldn't do this. I couldn't go to the beach. I couldn't do this or that. And so now I'm sitting here like, well, what do I do? I can't go to people's houses. They can't come over here. Blah, blah, blah. Exactly. So what do you do? It forced me to sit down and rethink. Okay, well, what's something I wanted to do? Well, I want to start a podcast. Well, let's start a podcast. Okay.
Let's start a podcast.
Let's do that.
That's how this came to be. So
that's exactly how this came to be. Because I was like, we
had
the
means. We had the technology. Let's do it.
And the time.
Let's do it.
And it was something that we've been wanting to do for a while.
We had actually, we have actually been talking about starting this podcast for the better part of a year probably. And it was just one of those things of, like, because we didn't
all
have
about timing.
Exactly. We didn't, because we hadn't, we didn't set that timing. We didn't set that plan into motion of what we were going to do. Cause obviously you want to create a plan that's going to be sustainable.
Exactly.
And so we hadn't done that. And so it just never happened, you know?
Yeah.
And then COVID-19 hit and we were like, hey, well, what can we do in this time when we can't shoot? What can we do to help to start generating content, you know? And I think that was, in a way, a priority shift for us as Right Time Productions to really start thinking more about our IP, who we are as a company, you know, and realize that we're not only a production company just making short films, you know, we're actually building a brand. And we're not only building a brand, we're building a community. And I feel like that's, we've gotten a lot stronger in this time than we had the past year or so that we had been a company. So for us as Right Time Productions, I feel like this has been a humongous growing period for us in the last 4 months.
I couldn't have said it any better, actually. I don't think I could have
come up
with the words. I couldn't come up with the words to that. I don't even have a Friends reference. I'm out.
Wow. That's,
be impressed by that because I always have a Friends
That's a rare occurrence when Trinity is speechless. Not even
I didn't
a
say I was
reference.
Speechless. I just said I didn't
You're
have
never
a Friends.
Speechless, Trinity.
I am not. That's why I said it. Thank you so much. And don't forget to check out Tessa's book, which will be linked in the description box below.
Coming out October 13th.
Yes.
Can people pre-save it or pre-order it?
Pre-order it. They can. If you go to, you can go to my website actually and find it on there. My website is TessaEmilyHall.com and it is listed on my books page.
Awesome. So make sure you go pre-order that book. It's going to be awesome. I know she's going to have a lot of great advice and words of wisdom in there for you.
Is the magazine on your website as well?
It is. Pursue Magazine. And that's also pursuemagazine.net if you want to go straight there.
We will have all of that linked in the description box.
Awesome. Well, guys, thank you so much. Until next Wednesday, make sure you go and chase your unknown.
Calling all film fans, cinephiles, and geeks everywhere. Do you have that one friend that just won't shut up about that TV show they're watching? Well, then this is the place for you. Here on OpinionX, we talk about our opinions on movies, TV, and popular culture. From cinematic masterpieces to that show that you are kind of embarrassed to admit that you like, let's face it, it's time to. Join me, Roger Sisk, and my guests to talk about film and TV we love, and sometimes we don't love. But fair warning, watch out, it's gonna get a little crazy. Join us on OpinionX.